don't feel good, or things aren't working for me right now. I haven't done anything that I, all the things that I was, which I was unwilling to accept and admit out loud. I can say that to you today. I can say that I'm very nervous. I can say that, like, I had a panic attack in the car in the parking lot when I got here. I pulled up, tried to register, and I'm doing all the things, and I got in the car, I called my mom, I was like, I'm leaving. I'm done. I can't. Because my disease tells me you're not worth it. You're not good enough. You don't belong here. How dare you think you can show up and speak if you've never even shown up at one before, you've never supported a convention before? Who do you think you are? But NA tells me you are Randy, you're an addict, and you belong here. Because you show up every day, you do the work, you continue to show up no matter what. You say yes when you're asked, no matter how scared you are, no matter how uneasy you're feeling about all of the things, because I don't believe that I deserve a chance. I didn't believe that that somebody could look at me after a meeting where I was so vulnerable and so raw, and I'm like, hey, guess what? We need you to share. Right? And I can't fathom that today. And I'm just so grateful for the opportunity. So thank you. Thank you so much. So this pamphlet I had seen around, and I didn't read it until this week. But it's funny though, because I had a really good first sponsor who drilled all of those concepts into me very early on. I just celebrated 5 years, so I'm still early on, but like really early on. I remember she would not accept, you know, the dual languages. She taught me very early on what language should we speak, what are the key words that we use, what is our basic text, what does that look like, what is a home group? You have one home group in this fellowship. I remember, so I got clean in Annapolis, and it's very bipartisanship there. And there's meetings from 6 o'clock in the morning to 8:30 at night. You can go anywhere, anytime, and you can always hit a meeting, but it's not always here. And I remember going to so many at another fellowship that I was asked to share a meeting there. I asked her about it, and she was like, what fellowship do you work? I said, what, NA? Why would you ask me that? She said, because clearly you're spending so much time everywhere that nobody knows where you are. I was like, I hear you. And I heard her. Right? Like I started listening and hearing and knowing what does that look like. So I focused very heavily on this is my fellowship, this is the basic text, this is our language, and this is where I belong. And I'm grateful for that because before I got here, before I was able to even admit that I needed help out of fear of abandonment and, you know, it's the trauma, I joke about it, but it's the trauma. And I didn't think I belonged anywhere. I didn't think I belonged in NA because I didn't necessarily use how and what you did. But I know I didn't really belong at home in the other fellowship because I knew. There was no question of. Like, I'm a drug addict, right? But was I a good enough drug addict? Did I really truly deserve a seat here? Did I deserve for you all to look at me and tell me it's going to be okay and you can recover and you can and will be okay? So I started going to meetings after treatment, because I did go to treatment, and women started telling my story. They started telling me that it didn't matter how I used or what I used, they started telling me like what they did to use, what that did to them. They started telling me what that spiritual death felt like. And they described my spiritual death. They described that desperation and that despair and that like unwillingness to tell anybody what was going on inside of me because I thought you were going to shun me. You wouldn't look at me the same way ever again because I present pretty well. Like I present like I've kind of got my shit together and I don't. Ever. Even on my best days, I don't. Because I had panic attacks in the parking lot and decided to leave. That's my best. But I didn't. You all started telling me how you got your kids back. How you lost your kids. Let's start there. You all started telling me all of these things that, like, I wasn't hearing at PTA meetings. Like, my son's father wasn't telling me, like, oh, dude, it's fine. Keep getting high and using all my money. It's fine. I love it like this. No. He was not telling me any of that, actually. He was telling me, can you get your shit together? Because I'm taking our kid. And I was unwilling to accept that loss. I had given up everything else. I gave up whatever family was still alive. I gave up my vehicles. I gave up my jobs. safety and security in my home, like all of it. I was unwilling to give up my child. And I share about this all the time, and I share about this because there was a woman who told my story and I couldn't find it. I share about this because before I got clean, when I was pregnant with my son, my mother suffered a severe stroke and she died. And nobody could tell me that experience firsthand at the time. I wasn't clean. I was still using Lozol methadone when I was pregnant with my son, and nobody could tell me that experience. They couldn't help me work through that. And I share about it because 2 years ago, a woman stood at my home group and she shared my story. The one that I Googled relentlessly. What does that look like? How do you do this? How do you parent without your parents? Who does that? And then have your parents lose your kid, not have your parents talk to you about it. What does that look like? Somebody helped me, and NA helped me. You guys showed up for that. She shared my story. You promised me that would happen. That's what you said at the first, second, or third meeting I went to. You promised me you would tell me who I am. I read about myself in your literature, but you didn't tell me that. And she shared that, I mean, almost exactly the experience that I had. Like, grief is a fickle bitch, right? So, like, everybody's got a story. It's very vast. There's no way to put it in one little, like, pill to swallow it. It just doesn't work like that. And she did. And when I went up to her at the end, I don't think I even fully got out the words before I was crying my eyes out. I don't think I was even able to articulate how grateful I was for her showing up to that meeting that Wednesday night in January, when I was already going through the motions of leaving my son's father. So I'm already like a little bit raw at that time. And she told all of that to me. And like, I am so grateful for that, and because of that moment, I will continue to say yes, and I will continue to share the ugly bits, and I will continue to get as vulnerable as humanly possible, to the point of making some people uncomfortable, I'm sure. Because, like, I needed that, because that was my ticket to stay. I learned that I have a seat here, and I earned it, because I was able to tell other people about that experience, and they were able to find the speakers. So God put these people in place at the exact right moment. And I can't pay for that, right? Like, we were just talking about downstairs about running a recovery house and the women that you meet, well, for me, the women that I met and the experiences and the relationships built so that, like, when I found myself without a place to live in recovery, a woman in the room answered the phone and she shared her bed for the first week and a half that I had nowhere else to go. Thankfully, she worked nights, I worked days, so it actually worked out really well. But, like, NA showed up for me. Nobody else. Nor would I have asked anybody else. Being around here, I've been in 3 home groups, and I'm on my second and a half sponsor. The first one I had like a hot 10 minutes clean, and I asked my house manager that I was living with, and like, really that's not the best plan. And then I started working with the one who was really, really big on the language and etiquette. And how did we speak? How did we share? Are you talking in a meeting? I would watch her. If you didn't know her, you wouldn't even know she was there. We shared a home group together. She would come in with her keys and like a cigarette and a lighter. Not her phone, nothing else. And she would sit down and we would hear her laugh if it was funny enough that warranted like reaction. And I watched her. And I watched everybody in those meetings. And my first home group was really big, so I got to watch and listen and pay attention, because I was damned if you guys were going to know stuff that I didn't know. Because I didn't have that paper yet. I didn't see all these things. I didn't know, like, the Just for Today reading at the end, and they read it, and I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What is that? How am I going to fit in here? How are you going to like me if I don't know the words to your songs? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to be the only quiet one because I don't know what you're doing. So I watched her. I listened to her. I focused on everything that she said. And she was one of the big pushes for me to go to conventions. And I'm like, yeah, one day I will. I'll come here. Boy, amazing things. And I'm grateful for her. I'm grateful that time with her. I'm grateful that she made me sit down, shut up, and just fucking sit. Just sit. Work on your step work. Read some literature. Get to know people. I'm not here for you 24 hours a day. Get a network and use them. Thank you for that. Because I might have mommy issues. Well, I can go to dad issues, I might also have those, but I don't even want to look that. But I might have some mom issues, right? I needed a strong woman to look at me and say, this is what we're doing. Do it. Let's keep it very, very simple, Randy. Show up, do the work, and reap the rewards. I have. Like, I also feel the pain when I work on that too. You know? That first sponsor, she did. She guided me. She showed me. She helped teach me patience. She kept me grounded. She held me down. And when it was time to move on, I found the perfect sponsor for me. She's a hippie just like me. She's amazing. And she teaches me that it's okay to have feelings, and it's okay to go where you feel the most love. So in the few home groups that I've had, which is the beauty of NA, you can kind of find wherever you feel the most home. And I don't know about anybody else, but when I got here, I didn't feel like I had a home. Home was always a person, not a place. And when the person was gone, that was it. Like, I didn't know what my parents' house was like until COVID, from the time I ever got until COVID. I didn't know what it felt like to just, like, pop in and say hi to mom and dad. I got poop and I need a bathroom. Right? I was my grandmother's house for years. That's a different meeting. But I didn't know that comfortability with that family. But I get here and you guys just show me unconditional love. And, you know, people today told me, you're already doing a great job. I knew like 12 people when I got here, to, like, physically here. I've gotten more hugs and praise in the last, I've been here for a lot of hours already, but like, more than I'm used to or comfortable accepting. Again, I'm not getting out of PTA. I've got purple hair. My kid goes to school in Annapolis. I'm not an Annapolitan mom, okay? If you don't know Annapolis, it's a lot of sailboats and yacht clubs. I'm not that. I don't know. I love having the option to go where I feel the most safe. The other night, I went to a women's meeting because, and I was telling them at the meeting, I was kind of justifying it to my sponsor and my boyfriend about why I was missing my home group, because I needed a safe space, a soft space to land in that moment. And because of this fellowship, I can go to as many meetings as I want until I find that soft space to land. And then I actually am switching home groups to that soft space because I really need it. Because there's such a variety, and we're such a society within a society, and it's fascinating to me. It's fascinating to me how we can get together, not know one another, but I know exactly who you are. We can get together, and we can start talking, and all of a sudden, I'm telling you my life story, what classes I chose for college this fall, how old my kid was when he got potty trained. Thank God for you guys for teaching me how to do that. Thank God for the sense of getting me through that process, because of that, my left on powerlessness, I have no idea what is. Like, thank you guys for getting me through parenting. My kid is 7 now, and he has transitioned with me 3 homes in the last 18 months. He's gone to meetings with me. And I told him I lost my job, and he goes, did you get fired? Yeah, bud, thanks. That was the way he liked my hair. So that's what I'm dealing with. But, like, you guys continue to show up when I don't expect anybody to show up. You guys have continued to be there at the exact moment that I need it the most. And I don't know how to ask for that, because I don't even know what I need half the time. 5 years clean, I'm still trying to pull my head out of my ass, and I'm still trying to figure out what it is that I want and need out of this life. And you all are like, oh my gosh, we're a couple years out of that. We've seen this. Like, where else do you go for that? Where else do you go that it's just so simple? Sit down, shut up, listen to what's happening around you, and you're going to go far, kid. I can't pay for that. I actually can't pay for that, but like, I could never pay for that. All I can do is continue to show up. All I can do is go to school and start doing something to help us before we get here. All I can do is introduce my child to the people who are in this fellowship and who are a part of this life with us, so that he has a safe place to land if he is ever in need. And hopefully he's not, but who am I to say, right? Because I'm sure my parents weren't, like, playing that part for me either, right? But Maybe his friends do. My mom was a safe space for people. My mom was the woman that you went to in high school when you found yourself pregnant. She was the woman who sat there and said, "It's okay, honey. Let's breathe. And we're going to get through this." My mom was that mom when I was on methadone, found myself pregnant with my son, and she said, "We are going to get through this." I never believed in we. I refused to believe that there was a we after she died. I refused to believe that there was anybody else who was going to be able to hold my heart soft enough to get us through to the next day. I mean the next, life event. I mean the next 12 hours day until I started coming around here and opening up my mouth when it was needed. I tried very hard not to vomit all over meetings because I don't believe that you guys just want to hear me babble. I believe I'm here for a purpose, and it's to figure out what's next. I am super selfish, and I need a lot of help. And I'm so grateful for my sponsor answering the phone while she's at work, and I'm like, "Hey, bye. I'll see you in about 2 hours. I'll be at your work eating some pancakes." She works at a restaurant. She's an amazing baker. It's the best place to go through a crisis. And you guys put me in line with her. Another weirdo person who has full moon rituals with crystals, right? I love my fancy props, and you guys put me in line with somebody like that. You guys put me in line with my boyfriend, my partner. I can be a partner because of you guys. I can talk to you and figure out, what does this look like? How are we a we? How do you ask for help from somebody when you're so terrified they're going to push you away because you're less than today? When I'm less than myself, he loves me more than. That's the program working in his life and in my life. That's the God that you all introduced me to, that I'm able to reach out and say, "I'm not me right now, and I don't know how to get back." And you guys look at me and say, "You're still you. You're just having a rough fucking week." And I am. I'm having a rough couple weeks. But you guys also taught me how to sit still and sit in position because God did this, right? God put me in position to use me as he sees fit. My job is don't put your hands in it and don't get squirrely and run away. And that's a very good reading move, to get squirrely and run away. And you guys continue to show me how to not do that. You guys continue to support that moment of just sit still. I don't know that I would ever be able to express my gratitude for what this program has to offer. I don't know that I could ever fully explain it to somebody who's not one of us. I don't know that I could ever fully shake it into somebody. I mean, it sucks that you gotta be broken to be put back together. I'm really sorry for that. But God put me in position. Break yourself down a little bit. Remember who and what you are. Get it together. Show up. Shut up. Learn some shit. And that's all I can do. I don't know where I'm going half the time. I literally drove in a sidewalk today when I went to come here. my GPS said, "Turn now." And I did. So you know the brick? It's not road. Why did not for my SUV is not road? Certainly not. But I can tell you guys that. I keep telling myself that I'm an idiot. But I can tell you that. I can tell you where I'm at, how I'm freaking out, why I want to go, and you guys continue to remind me to stick and stay. This pamphlet, I hope that I touched as much on it as I had intended to. If I didn't, there's an amazing speaker coming up next. But at the end of the day, that's it, right? Keep it simple. Show up. If you don't feel at home right now, go to the next meeting. If I didn't do it for you, surprise, I don't do it for me now in time anyway. So somebody else is going to do that. And we're afforded that gift here. Keep moving. Don't stop. Just don't talk out your ass. I mean, in my experience. Look, this has been the most eventful ride of my entire life. I got a story within a story within a story since coming in here. I'm raising a tiny little human. That's the most phenomenal thing in the entire world that I would have never been given that opportunity to do. I have been given the opportunity to grieve both of my parents. I've been given the opportunity to make a ceremonial amends to the living because I don't know that I will ever have the chance to make it to them in person. I've been given the chance to just look at me and be okay with me. And I can tell you all the things about me, and I'm not going to think that you're going to hate me when I'm done. Thank you so much. Thank you for those who helped me stay clean. Thank you for those who came in before me. I mean, you're stuck, so I'm going to keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share.